to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples. Find us online at cjsf.ca and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
You almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds. It's time for more suds.
Hey there. How are you? Come on in and make yourself comfortable. This is another sud segment where everything good in life is worth discussing. Everything great in life? Well, we tried discussing that once, but the FCC made us put a parental advisory warning at the beginning of the episode. So sure. We can only do the good.
It's too hot for radio.
Exactly. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me today at the table is good old boy Kendall.
It is a beautiful day to be here, and I'm happy to see you all.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Weak.
Isn't it? It's not weak. It's very sweet. Mm-hmm. It's southern sweetness. Good boy, Mike.
I'm just glad that we're actually drinking beer for this episode.
Oh, now you're just being picky.
Oh, yeah.
Reverend Mark, hello.
Hello, and I want to send out a special hello to my lovely cat wife. Her name is Cat. I'm not married to a cat.
He's not married to a cat.
Well, there might be cats in their life too.
Yeah, we got two other cats, but she's the main cat.
Yeah.
Good old boy, Dave.
You know the first rule is to stop digging, right?
Right.
Correct. Okay, good.
Mike talked over my hello.
I'm sorry. Say hello.
So please have
no,
say
I'm
hello.
Done. You know what? I'm done. That's fine.
Are you sure?
Just make this about Mike today.
Oh,
okay.
Isn't it always? Okay.
It's cool with me.
All right. Well, today's episode is a special and slightly romantic one. It was created by our resident holy man, Reverend Mark. Due to the pandemic, he and his lovely wife, Kat, had to postpone their honeymoon in Vegas. How sad is that? However, they recently made their visit and were nice enough to bring back some beer. Aww. As we go through the flight, Reverend Mark will share some stories about each brewery and maybe tell us a little bit about the rest of their visit to Sin City. So, without further
ado... That's
why
we were there.
Exactly. Please give us some background.
Well, thank you. It is so good to talk about this because it is sort of like our delayed honeymoon vacation that we had to put off because when we were married, we also were in the middle of the pandemic and we each had been diagnosed like 3 weeks before with COVID. So, yeah, we just thought not to travel and canceled everything temporarily and just now have been able to sort of re-engage this dream. Now, neither one of us cared to gamble, but the main reason we went, other than the beer, of course, I guess we'll determine whether that was worth it. But nonetheless, when we were there, we stayed at the Venetian Hotel, which was kind of like the Truman Show, you know, just everything totally, mocked up, bigger, you know, on a scale bigger than life, but a lot of fun nonetheless in terms of places to eat. What we did with the beer portion of the show that we're going to talk about today is that we just had a limited amount of time the first part of Valentine's Day, and we discovered, of course, that most of the breweries in Vegas are near the Arts District, and so we took an Uber out in that area and realized that there was a lot more beer out there than we could bring back for one show.
Gotcha.
So we visited the top three breweries as we could assess it, you know, by talking to local people and all that. And then as we put our focus on those three breweries, then we went into each one and then had to correspond with their taps in terms of what was also available in a can so we could bring some away. So this was kind of like a speed dating with beer. We did samples, and then of like six samples, we would pick two of that six that were our favorites. So this is the offering we have. We have two beers from three different breweries, which I hope are fairly representative of the beer scene there, which in my humble opinion, I think they're still kind of in their infancy there, even though Vegas in so many ways is, like the culinary, one of the culinary centers of the country, but not for beer.
Gotcha.
I mean, these were good breweries, but it still struck me that they've still got a ways to go.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Well, good old boy Kendall, why don't you give us today's lineup?
The Las Vegas beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are from the Huddle Brewing Company, a Vanilla Oak Cream Ale, and their Knack Knack West Coast IPA. From Abel Baker Brewing Company, the Atomic Duck American IPA, and the Excited State Unfiltered German Pilsner. And from Nevada Brew Works, their Blood Orange Hefeweizen and a Marzen.
Thanks, Kendall. Okay, the moment we've all been waiting for with bated breath. Good old boy Mike, please give us your suds ratings. And since we're in Vegas, if you choose to go Elvis or Wayne Newton, have at it.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it there, Juliana.
So he's going Wayne Newton.
We're
going
to be discussing and rating these beers with these sud ratings plus our signature belching sounds. I hear the ratings now. So, number one, I'm all shook up. That sucks. Give me anything but the craps. Number two, every time I tell myself this, I shake my hips just a little bit more. Was that a bust? Number three, I'll tell you, I'm getting a little hot up here under the collar because all you gorgeous women out there in the audience. Oh, what a relief. Newtown, some crappy raiders. I got a hunk of burning love for number four. A body should really not make that sound, even if they are in the Blue Man Group. And I did it my way. Number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another complimentary jumbo shrimp cocktail. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
King.
Thank you very much.
Elvis has left the building.
I like that.
Yeah.
Solidus. Yes.
I think Elvis is going to be here.
I don't think Elvis was ever in
the
building.
Thank you very much.
This was everything.
Yeah. Was it?
I got another show on Thursday at 3 o'clock. It's a matinee. Come on by. We're going to be serving some beer here from Huddle.
Was it everything you hoped it would be, Juliana?
Okay.
Oh, that was...
I think he's stuck in Elvis mode.
Yeah.
You should do the rest of the show as Elvis.
It could happen. I could do the whole show in Elvis. Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah. All right. So the top two canned beers from Huddle. Let's start first with the Vanilla Oak Cream Ale. 6% ABV. The nose is just the perfect amount of vanilla to get you excited. And then the grain bill provides the depth and balance for a classic beer style.
Vanilla oak.
In talking with the brewer, too, there was no vanilla added. Of course, it's just vanilla from the oak, if it's there or not.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just faint on the nose. When I read the description, I was thinking, oh, no, this is going to be an overpowering fake vanilla extract beer.
No, exactly. No, they were just trying to go the vanilla that normally would trans...
And I'm very appreciative.
Slightly
of
oaky,
that.
Light ale. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Almost like a little tiny oak tannic bite, but not much.
I like this.
It's nice.
It's very pleasant.
I like what it's not, which is not overdone. Exactly where you're at, I was afraid that they were going to add some adjunct, to bring the vanilla around, and it was just going to be overtly sweet and sugary and,
you put 1,000 vanilla, Madagascar vanilla beans in this beer.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, because it's all about the excess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which makes I don't know about you guys, but it makes me cringe every time I see a vanilla yes. cream ale on the menu.
This is very well balanced.
Oh, gosh.
And I have to say that each of the three breweries we went to, and we sampled six at each brewery, that one is Cat's Best Of and the other is my Best Of. So okay. this was Cat's Best Of.
No, but I could see why she would like this. Mm-hmm. All of us are kind of...
It's a nice beer-flavored beer.
It is.
It's the base cream ale is really nice. It's clean. There's nothing distracting about it. And it really lets that little bit of oakiness from the barrel come out.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me think that we should be using oak for all of our cream ales. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To maybe salt, like to balance it out and not make it too sugary and like and too sweet.
It adds another dimension that usually a cream ale is just a summer kind of, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Quenching
cream
beer.
Ales are an easy beer. Mm-hmm. I mean, a very easy beer, but yeah, this gives it a little zhuzh, so to speak. Well, what will we be rating? Oh,
Mike came up with
fingers are up,
lots
ladies
of fingers
and gents.
From Mike. Wow.
This is a 4.
I didn't think he had that many fingers.
Sometimes.
No, look, this is super solid. Yeah. You know, it's so in style.
No, I agree.
Yeah. It's really good.
It makes you actually want to have a cream ale.
I'm not questioning the beer, Mike.
The person behind the beer.
But Reverend Martin nailed it. Balance is the word for this beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything just works together perfectly. Nothing stands out in an offensive way.
Well, apparently Kat's really good at picking beers.
At least that.
That's what I get out of all of this. Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Well,
maybe she is a bit of a gambler.
Wow. Cannot believe that
I know.
We went
How
there.
Rude.
Yeah. But this gives me hope for cream
ale. What's
ales.
Your reference cream ale? Like mine is Little Kings.
Me too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because really there's, nothing.
I love New Heights, you know, cream ales.
Yeah.
They're good.
Locally, that the cream ale, Nothing Fancy at New Heights is really good.
Yeah. That one's pretty good.
Yeah. But old school, gosh.
Yeah. Little Kings.
Yeah. I mean, is Jenny Cream Ale considered?
Yeah, Jenny's okay.
No, but I mean, I remember that as a youngster. You know what I mean? Because it was so readily available.
Especially where you live.
Yeah.
In that part of the country.
It was the thing. Mm. But we'll be back with more Vegas beers in just a minute.
We'll be right back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're taking a trip to Vegas.
That's right, baby. Elvis is in the building.
And we're on a little bit of a honeymoon of sorts for Reverend Mark and his wife, Kat. And we've been talking about a beer from Huddle Brewing Company. So let's move on to the next one. And Reverend Mark, what are we going to drink next?
This is the Knack Knack West Coast IPA. It's 7.2% ABV and 59 IBUs. And I was drawn to this one, because it was they had several really good IPAs on tap, but this was the one that is in the public in a can. And it also kind of goes into their history of how that this was named after a Supercross racing star that the brewer raced with and grew up with in San Diego. I was also drawn to it because it's a West Coast IPA. And he was from that area originally. Anyway.
Very resin.
Of the six that was in my flight, this is the one that I took out the door with me.
Nice.
It's a really good example of, especially a San Diego style West Coast IPA. Yeah. The hop bitterness is quite assertive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost abrasive, but in a good way.
Oh, the aroma itself is just yum.
Yeah, this is all that deep resin and, you know, the touch of burnt, you know, sugars, you know, on this and
everything that you want.
This is just, yeah, this is a good reference, you know, West Coast IPA, you know, all day long. Yeah. There's, man, I'm telling you, that's, those are two really good, solid beers right there for sure.
Yeah. So the brewery's got, is doing some good things.
Was
yeah.
there a good crowd at Huddle when you were there? Or?
They were filing in, you know, but my sense that it really is a local place. I mean, it's really not a Vegas place, even though it's in Vegas, but it's more in the arts district. And so as I was talking to them about even the name Huddle, it's like what the locals do. They huddle together in the midst of an otherwise very crazy and somewhat impersonal town.
So, yeah, I guess it can be, huh?
Yeah.
No, he, Reverend Mark got the next one here. We're all
sorry.
Okay.
We had production.
Sorry, reporting and passing. Yeah, this is definitely, I always forget the name of the brewery that went out of business.
Green Flash.
Green Flash.
Yes,
I know.
This is totally right out of Green Flash.
This is back in the glory days of the West Coast IPA.
Very much so. Yeah.
The palate burner.
Oh, this was, this is great. And this, this takes me back to the first time I had a Green Flash beer.
Lagunitas.
Which was at the pharmacy with the brew club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Green Flash had just come to Nashville and everyone was freaking out. And what was it? Vert or Levert was another one. Rayon Vert.
Yeah.
That was another one too. But I was so into the West Coast.
This would definitely, stand up and all those very iconic, reference, West Coast IPAs. So I mean, definitely shooting 2 for 2.
Oh, sure.
It's kind of in there with Firestone Walker a little bit. I mean, different.
Yeah. No, and I'm sure you said the brewer was from San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had a nice...
For all we know, he worked at,
Right, but I mean, but he had some nice references to grow up with. And this was sort of
his homage to where he's from.
Yeah,
Even though they had several good deepas and all.
Sure. No, this is nice. And I'm really happy that the West Coast IPA is coming back around. Mm-hmm. And, maybe with slightly variants of the hop profile, but still... Okay, we're going to rate this one. Looks like it's a 4 as well.
Nice job, Huddle.
Go huddle there anytime you can.
Yeah. So I have some fun facts to share as we go along today.
Fun facts.
So there are nearly 300 weddings that happen every day in Las Vegas. How many annulments do you think there are on average?
298.
So
there.
What?
The odds are against you even there. Huh?
There you go. Yeah.
Part of that may not be actually.
Are you playing
facts.
With house money then? Is there a lawyer in the house? That's the only winners.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah. So how many wedding chapels do you think there are associated with such?
There's got to be at least 60. Couple hundred.
Ooh, that's really close. There's 50 wedding chapels in Vegas itself.
That honestly seems low to me.
Yeah, it seems like there would be more.
So I have a quick associated story. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law got married in Vegas, and I love the story of who married them at one of the wedding chapels. The person that officiated, his name was Johnny B. Love.
Johnny B. Love.
That's cute.
And so I was just like,
was he an Elvis impersonator guy?
Maybe he did that on the side, that was his side hustle was, he was Elvis, Monday through Thursday on the weekends. Yeah. He was Reverend Johnny B. Love.
Johnny B. Love.
That's right.
I like how some of those wedding chapels are actually drive-thrus.
Yes. Because nothing will solidify a rock solid marriage with, a bag of fries and a marriage certificate.
Yeah.
You want ketchup?
Yeah.
You want?
You want a prenup with that?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. But I mean,
hey,
That's Vegas. Yeah.
Our Love Sealed by Johnny B. Love.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we got married before we went there, so, you know, we were banking the odds in our favor.
You didn't want to go to have walk away with a story like that?
Not at all. No.
I don't know if this is still true, but like Gatlinburg, Tennessee is like number two.
Oh, after, yeah. After my sister Vegas. Got married there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of wedding chapels. Good old God, June and I got married in Gatlinburg.
That's right. That's right.
Cheese, and here we were getting all.
And did they have all their natural teeth?
They did.
Mostly.
The local Baptist pastor married us, and he had all his teeth.
All right.
Cool. Cool.
Do you take this woman?
I may open up a wedding chapel.
Stamp twice if no stamp once.
That's bad. Just ding. That's just bad. Okay. Moving on.
More beer.
Let's go to Abel Baker Brewing Company. Tell us a little bit about that, Reverend Mark.
Yeah, that was a really interesting place. Of course, you know, the etymology or where their name came from goes back to the first two atomic bombs that were detonated at the Nevada test site. And so the test explosions were codenamed by the military's phonetic alphabet of the time, making the first two tests an Abel and a Baker.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so Abel Baker is sort of, you know,
gotcha,
referencing that history. And so, you know, everything on their menu practically has something about that's written up that relates to the nuclear.
Do they have like the Fallout fries in the
They did. I mean, they did. They really went, you know,
nice. Mushroom,
into the shelter with it.
Yeah.
Mushroom cloud burger.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. Well, let's go to the first offering from this brewery, and that's the Atomic Duck American IPA. Yeah. Tell us about the duck.
Well, yep. Again, this one was my choice. Although, I mean, both were our choices, and I liked them both. But this is the one I got the vote on. And I liked it because of the hop foundation. It seemed to be, and these are some of my notes I'm reading from at the time, citrus, tropical, so forth with pine. And it was named, of course, after the mascot and brand ambassador, the Atomic Duck, which I guess had to do with just as they opened their shop, the Atomic Duck had something to do with the mascot of the parade, or the trying to go back to that history.
Gotcha.
That's what they put on the actual bombs, painted a duck on it, you know, for the kids.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You always want to try to make nuclear annihilation kid friendly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
true.
You know.
True. Yeah. Yeah, good association.
Kids, I'm Andy the Atom.
This one to me was almost up there with the Huddle, but a little different.
Mm. Okay. So this one is 7% ABV.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good straight up IPA.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Reverend Mark. This is up there, but it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Huddle's IPA was classic West Coast, you know, 2010 IPA.
Yeah.
This is a 2020 modern IPA.
Right.
You know, the caramel is gone. It's not even there.
Super light body.
All fruit forward. Mm-hmm. Still bitter,
mm-hmm.
But very much the modern American IPA.
It's squeaky clean.
That's a good way to differentiate that. It does kind of, it's a little bigger than like the old school Liberty Ale, but it's similar in the sense of not having the caramel malt.
It's a tad watery, but I love the hop blend, and it just is super squeaky clean finish.
We have another. Yeah.
That's why I'm digging it.
Yeah.
And it is a little thin, but I think that's why I like it. It's just it's almost a crusher, even at 7%.
Yeah. Dude, I love the can art.
I know. The Atomic Duck.
Duck on a mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
Oops.
I like it.
It's very nice. It's very easy. It doesn't taste 7% to me.
No, not at all.
And very crushable.
Almost presents more like a pale ale. than an IPA, but I think that's why I enjoy it, because you could put away a few of these.
Yeah, you can. And it's got a nice juiciness. You
bitterness
know,
lingers a little bit for me, but I still like it.
And I do believe of all the canned products they have, this is their best seller.
Okay.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Especially
the
heat of Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're trying to definitely create an IPA that is going to be drive a lot of revenue, you really have to hit right down the middle and, you know, choose a taste profile that is not going to be aggressive and not going to be weak and is going to appeal to a very broad range of palates.
Yeah.
I think they've succeeded with this.
Yeah. And that's a good point, because I've heard somebody disparaging breweries for making, you know, easy for the masses to drink beer, but this proves you
can still do that,
sell the beer and make a really good beer doing it, even going for that very common denominator that everybody's going to enjoy.
Yeah, those are the same people that rip on bands for writing good songs. You're like, sold out, man.
Yeah. And with Abel Baker and the other two breweries that we visited, you know, they had five or six that were kind of, like you say, the crowd pleasers, but then they had a lot of experimental stuff going on, you know, and so there were some, you could tell they had one-offs, you know, if you were local. And again, they are really kind of catering for the locals.
That's good.
I mean,
that's
I saw some of their beer on tap once I got back up into the Vegas Strip, but no, this is really kind of where locals go.
Well, that's good.
That's where the good stuff is.
That's good. All right.
What do you think about it?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. And what I liked about it was it's very approachable. It's very drinkable. The citrus to balance out the hops was nice. And again, a very modern IPA, but very doable. And I could see why it's a crowd pleaser.
I was going to say, could you see taking a four pack of this out to Lake Mead, you know, checking out, see what kind of bodies have recently become.
Yeah, is Lake Mead still there?
Can you still call it a lake?
A little bit.
It's
of
more
it.
Like a pond now.
Yep.
Yeah, I could, because I probably would need this as I'm finding the furry creatures or whatever. All right, we are going to rate the Atomic Duck American IPA a solid 4.
This show's going different.
I'm just telling you, I can always tell when we're drinking good beer because we are finishing all the samples in front of us. That's like the ultimate compliment.
That's huge.
Yeah,
right?
That is huge for us. So, yeah, as much beer as we have to consume, you know, for each show.
This was really kind of like get in, get out. So I was thinking, I hope these beers, you know, are the way I remember them.
Okay, so now let's have a fun fact. Let's get excited here, right? Fun fact.
The consumption of shellfish in Las Vegas is over 60,000 pounds per day.
Holy cow!
That's higher than the rest of the United States combined. Makes total sense that a landlocked city in the middle of the desert would eat more shellfish than the entire rest of the country.
That is nuts!
Wow. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think seafood when I think Vegas.
I think it's all you can eat crab legs at the buffet.
Oh, yeah. Definitely lobster tails.
Not going to dent in that for sure. Yeah.
At the High Rollers Club.
All right.
Next beer.
Let's get excited about the Excited State Unfiltered German Pilsner.
I'm very excited, baby.
So, with the Excited State Unfiltered German Pilsner, as they remind us on the menu, in atomic terminology, when an atom or nucleus possesses more than its normal energy, it enters into an excited state. That's both the name of our German-style Pilsner, as well as the condition that you'll achieve after tasting it. There you go.
Uh-huh.
It's done in a very conventional way.
This is why we're not invited to the marketing meetings.
Take it from there.
I haven't even tasted it yet, but the aroma of this is beautiful.
What style?
Unfiltered German Pilsner.
An unfiltered German Pilsner.
Okay. Wickel pills.
Wow, good luck. This table is really into unfiltered Pilsners, and we've had some really good ones. I don't know. My first thing is that it's just too watery. It's very thin.
Mm. It seems pretty clear for being unfiltered.
It's very clear for being unfiltered. And
that's the one thing I noticed.
Yeah.
It's a delicious beer. man, it doesn't have the bitterness I want out of a German Pils.
Yeah.
It's somewhere between a Helles and a Pils to me. Mm. I mean, it's got a great malt character, and I'm getting that in the aroma, that little bit of dough.